Well, good morning. Good morning to all you that are present here this morning. It's great to see you, and especially to those that are watching online. It's been good to chat to people through the week and know that we are a much bigger church than what we see here this morning with those that are watching online. Back in October, oh my goodness me, doesn't that seem like a long time ago? We did a series that looked at how the early church in Acts did life together. They had a lot of challenges, and yes, they had a lot of joys. And we had five key words that we looked at back in October. And I wonder if you can remember even one, or here's the five in case you need a little hand. We looked at evangelize, exalt, encourage, edify, and equip. And the passage that this was based on was Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Now, in the coming weeks, we are going to continue our series on the early church. And we'll be looking at some of the key players in those early days of the New Testament. We look at Peter, and John, and Stephen, and Paul. Just a little bit of an overview, and we are looking forward to what Woody and Ian and Sue will be speaking on as we do that series. And today I thought it might be helpful if we just did a little overview of the book of Acts that will give us an appetite for what is to come. I don't know about you, but when I go to a restaurant, I like to study the menu. And then that increases the appetite as I then select what is going to happen. And I kind of feel, I'm hoping that today will be just a little teaser as we begin that process. Now, Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. You've got the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that talk about the life of Jesus. And then comes Acts. Some people call Acts the Acts of the Apostles. And we do meet the apostles and hear about their life. But more correct title for this would be actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles. And really it's two key apostles that we hear mostly about, and that's Peter and Paul. Acts is important to our understanding and writing of the whole of the New Testament. Paul's 10 earlier letters, all written during the period of Acts. And it's really good to look at when each of them was written and how it sets into the historical account as we get the history and the setting of Acts. And the book of James was also written during the history of Acts. And the church did continue to grow after Acts 28. And there are 11 more books in the Bible that deal with this time frame. And Acts can kind of be seen as a bit of a bridge between the Gospels and the epistles, that is the letters written by Paul, Peter, James, John, and Jude. Well, who wrote Acts? Verses in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 gives us the clue. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. So we see from here that the writer has already written a former account. So there's two accounts linked to this person. And this person wrote to a man named Theophilus to give him a trustworthy account of Christianity from the birth of its founder to the apostles that Christ has chosen. Theophilus was probably a Roman governor. And in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, which is the former account that he's talking about here, Luke calls him most excellent. That gives us a little feel as to how important this man was. Well, Luke, who wrote the former book, the Gospel of Acts, and the Gospel of Luke, sorry, and Acts, was actually a doctor by profession. He also became a skilled historian, and he carefully dated his story and archaeologists confirm the exactness of the technical words he uses in relationship to places and officials. And parts of Acts are actually eyewitness accounts. Luke was there, and he uses the personal pronouns of we and us. And when you read through Acts, it's really interesting to note those we's and us's, and you can say to yourself, I know who that is. That's Luke. He was there watching what was going on and recording what he saw. Luke was a very valued companion of Paul. Luke's entire story in the Gospel of Luke and in Acts emphasized the triumph of the Christian gospel and the life-giving blessings it brought for all people, regardless of their race. Luke was not a Jew. He is the only non-Jewish writer of a book in the Bible. And as a Gentile, we see his heart for God's love for all mankind. And he sees things and he tells things from that perspective. I've actually done a little bit of a study on the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you look at the different things that Luke talked about and explained, it's really precious when you realize he sees things from a different perspective, and it just helps us to understand how powerful his gospel is. Well, where did Luke get his information from about the growth of the church? The first 12 chapters that speak about Peter were not an eyewitness account by him. And this is where Luke's skill as a historian comes into play. You see, Luke tells us when he wrote his gospel. Let me read to you just the few verses in the opening part of actually Luke's gospel, verses 3 and 4. Luke says, "Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good to me, also to me, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." That was Luke's background. He looked at everything and wrote a very orderly account and a detail. He carefully investigated things from the beginning and wrote them down. And that's where we get the Gospel of Luke and the earlier part of Acts. And how did he know about all these things? Well, he probably found out by talking to people. When he was with Paul, he would have met lots of people that had been eyewitnesses, and he'd listened to those events and recorded them. Mark, who was with Paul and Luke on one of their journeys, was there in those days when all of this happened, when the Gospels occurred. And then from Acts chapter 12 to 28, some of these chapters, he was actually there in person. And Luke had the mind of a researcher, and he was careful and paid attention to details. Isn't that exciting that the Holy Spirit chose Luke to record and to document so that we could read today and read with a great deal of understanding and accuracy? The first part of the story in the Gospel of Luke concluded with the triumphant return of the risen Christ to his heavenly Father. And the second part, Acts, picks it up from that point and continues through for another 30 years. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, we have just a handful of believers in Jerusalem. And as you read through the book of Acts, you will find that there is then a vast community that brought new life and hope to Asia Minor, Eastern Europe, and even to Rome itself by the conclusion of Acts. Luke, in his gospel, shows what Christ began to do on earth. And Acts shows what he continued to do by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mentioned over 50 times in Acts. And you can look for some work of the Holy Spirit in every chapter. I guess Acts, when you read it, it's like a story that just goes on and on. I started reading again this week. I wanted to just keep reading through. And you don't want to stop because it's one story after another. It's about people. It's about information. And you see the Holy Spirit at work, and it really does get you in. Not every event of church growth was recorded. Whoa, far too many for that. But the important developments and growth are like a window that is opened that allows us to glimpse important times seen mostly through the experiences of Peter and Paul. And the word witness, testify, tell, is used more than 30 times in the book. In Acts 1:6, just before Jesus returned to heaven, he was with the disciples and they asked him a question. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And in verse 7 he replies, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. And then in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And verse 9 goes on to say, after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. These are the last words spoken by Jesus to his followers on earth. The power for witnessing comes from the Holy Spirit. Look at the circles on this map. It starts at Jerusalem, the little cross inside the blue center there. A city, that's where it all began. And then it moved out into the district of Judea, and then into Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. There is no region here on earth beyond the limits to hear the good news of Jesus. And it's so precious to know that it's the Holy Spirit that prompts you to speak to someone about Christ. And the thrilling thing is, the Holy Spirit is oftentimes preparing the hearts of the people to hear what you are going to share. Someone here in this church last week shared a story with me about how God had used someone else to witness to someone in their family. And what was thrilling was the way that the Holy Spirit was preparing hearts for that to happen. Isn't that exciting? As you read through Acts, you will see the Holy Spirit doing that over and over, and he's still doing that today. The early church was very slow to realize that God's calling on their life was not just to Jerusalem. It was only as persecution came and drove them out to new places that their vision was enlarged. And this would eventually include Judea and then into Samaria and into the neighboring region. As you read through Acts, you'll see the progression and the movement as that happened. I want you, though, now to stop and to think for a moment where your circles of influence are. Thanks, Cam, for the daisies, those outer flower petals as they go round. It sort of links in here, doesn't it, with that ever-widening power and circles that we can have. Where would your Jerusalem be? Your home area? Those in your family? People you see regularly? Your workmates? the sporting team you might be in, your church family, they're all part of what we might call our Jerusalem. And then widen your circles. Who fits in there? This will be different for all of us. But we're all encouraged to maintain and to build links with others. I got thinking about then the area of Samaria. You know, Samaria to the Jewish people was not a welcome place. Yet this region is mentioned here that it would receive the good news of Jesus. We've all got people in our circles of contacts that we prefer to leave them at arm's length and not actively have relationship. We might so easily say, well, they're not my cup of tea. And I tell you, I have been personally challenged by this in the past few weeks. God has clearly given me a nudge in this area. And to make the point hit home, oh my, I did have to drink a cup of white tea. I never drink white tea. I only drink weak black tea. Do you know what white tea tastes like when you only drink black tea? Oof. But I had no option. And you know, I did drink the white tea and it didn't kill me. I'm still here today to tell the story. I think you get the picture. The Holy Spirit, when He leads us and we respond to that, we will find ourselves being with people and in places and drinking tea that we would not choose. But you know, this is God's appointed place. And the ends of the earth, well, that might not be as far as you think. It could be with someone from another ethnic background that is in your neighbourhood or your work contacts. We may not be able to jet around the world at the moment, but we have the world in our neighbourhood. And if God opens doors for us to build relationships or to be more inclusive in our family, then I think we have a challenge from this verse to make sure that we live it out. When you think of being a witness, what does that mean? There are at least three words used in the NIV to cover this thought in Acts. Witness, testify, and tell. The Kids Talk used the word tell. And it actually said, when something has happened in our life that is good, we want to tell others. When you share your story of God at work in and through you, it is powerful. Last Sunday here in church, we had four stories of how God has been at work in the life of Samson and Nicholas and Judy, Myra and Kat. All their stories were different. All were told in different ways. And they all had different outcomes. But they all pointed people to Jesus and to the work of God in their life. And if you missed seeing last Sunday, look it up on YouTube or go to the Church Wedge page and select it by the date, 2nd of January. Sometimes we can think that we have to witness only in one set way. That's not so. Not according to the book of Acts. And it's not just only telling the good things. It's the sharing of life in its troubles and its heartaches. And it's what we enter into as we share that story with others and as we seek to share how real life is for us and how God is meeting us in that point of place. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation comes to this world through Jesus Christ alone. We sang those thoughts this morning in the song One Way Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we want to live that out and to share that with others. People need to know Christ, and God's plan includes us. We are to be His witnesses. We are to testify. We are to tell about our Lord and Saviour. And Acts is the best guidebook to missions that ever was written. We see God reaching out further and further afield to the uttermost parts of the world. And He wants us to be part of that. And thanks, Mitch, for sharing your journey this morning as you seek to be a witness and why you do summer mission. You know, the disciples, apostles, who shared this message were simple, straightforward, and successful. They depended entirely upon the power of God through His Spirit. They moved with a zeal that could not be quenched and a courage that was unflinching. In Acts 1:12, we find Peter witnessing primarily to the Jews. And Peter says, repent. Let me read to you Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. And it's Peter, the Peter who was afraid to stand up, now full of the Holy Spirit, able to share in such a powerful way. And Peter went on to say, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How powerful is that? Peter says, repent. The people that Peter was speaking to needed to have a definite change of mind about the Messiah. They needed to do a 180-degree turn and repent. That was the message of Peter. And then we go down to Acts 13 to 28, and we find Paul witnessing primarily to the Gentiles. And he says, believe. In Acts 16:30 to 31, oh my, what a story this is. I tell you, once you start chapter 16, you just want to keep going because you can't believe how the story unfolds. But Paul is in jail, not exactly the best place to be a witness, but he is. Despite all of the circumstances, he is there. And he's praising God and he's sharing his faith. And as he begins to share his faith, the jailer calls out to him, what must I do to be saved? And Paul replies in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Christianity is contagious. The end part of that story is, maybe I shouldn't tell you what happens, but oh, great things happen in that whole family as a result of the jailer coming to faith. You check it out and see. I was thinking this week about COVID. If you spend time with people who have COVID, You know what's going to happen, don't you? You are very likely to catch COVID. That's one of the problems that we live with in our world at the moment. And there are some families I know in this past week where one person got it and now the whole family is down. And it made me stop and think. As people spend time with me and with you as a Christian, will they catch Christianity? Will they get to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that you do? Just like the Philippian jailer, his whole family came to faith. How about us? We know how contagious COVID is in the world that we live in. Do we really understand how contagious Christianity can be if we believe in its power and we share that message with others? That's the challenge, certainly a challenge to me. I know people who continue to read through the book of Acts, 28 chapters, every month. Why? Because they want to saturate themselves in how the early church shared their faith, and they long to see that same experience in their own life. They've got such a heart for mission. Can I encourage you during January to read the book of Acts and to look for the work of the Holy Spirit? Today is the 9th, if you don't know. So you've already missed out on 8 days. But you know what? I'm sure once you start reading, you'll want to keep going and you still might get through Acts in the month. See how far you can get in January. And I want to encourage you that if you're reading on your phone, you might want to open up your notes page so that you can record what the Spirit is saying to you. And if you're reading on a printed page, it's okay to underline and to highlight, because I'm sure the Holy Spirit will speak to you as you read through this book to know what God is saying for you. But I also need to give you a word of warning. If you take up this challenge, it may be dangerous. You will encounter the Holy Spirit, and that is powerful. And I look forward to chatting with you in the coming month to see the story that God is revealing to you and how that is working out and sharing with you. On the Connect that gets emailed to our church family every Monday, we have, underneath the heading, we have our vision statement. We aim to be spiritually vibrant, evangelistically effective, community impacting, multi-generational, multi-ethnic, multiplying disciples. As you read through Acts, you'll see just how this was lived out by the early church. And we long for that today here at Ringwood Community Church. And it can only happen, and it will take all of us to be active in this, when we're led by the Holy Spirit every day to see these goals being lived out here in our church. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you are a God that is vitally interested in every one of us. And you long for us to be closely connected to you. We want to thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to us every day. And we want to thank you for the people close to us in our inner circle as we pray for them. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will open their hearts as we build relationships and look for open doors to share Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you will give us eyes to see people in need and how we can reach out to others and share our relationship with Jesus. We live in a multicultural world right here in our own neighbourhood. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you will help us to share you with others. And this we pray in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We're going to sing now. Here I am.